Hey everyone, my name is Daniel and I'm here today with Ella Peacock, and today we're going to discuss something very interesting that actually Todd Brown shared in his book, How to Find the Big Marketing Idea in Your Marketing. And if you don't know who Todd Brown is, by the way, just so you know, Todd Brown is an amazing man, an amazing funnel expert, and he's one of the top guys that people actually go to for those kind of things, for funnel building, for strategies. He's been talking in a lot of great events. He's a person that I've been following for quite some time now, an absolute marketing genius, and I suggest everyone to follow him and to read his book as well. And again, I sent Ella to read his latest book, the one that I mentioned, and this whole interview will be about how to find the big idea in your marketing. So Ella, I would love to start with asking again the most obvious question that we always start with. How would you summarize the read? I mean, was it good?
Yes, it was obviously, as per usual, I don't think I'll ever say that a book's bad. Just for the forewarning. and I've become to be quite prepared for this question. And I say it was similar to some of the other books in what it mentions, and more of the deeper concepts of transformation and all of those things. But yeah, I would definitely consider it a really great read, and again, valuable to anybody that's in digital marketing.
Mm-hmm. So to what you compared it to Simon Sinek, the Start With Why book?
If I was to summarize the book in itself, I would say that it's the similarities would start with why is that it's again quite explicit in its title. It's not when I talk about Donald Miller's book and all of that, they're a lot broader. Whereas again, the Simon Sinek talks about the importance of why, and Todd Brown talks about the importance of a big idea. He does break this down, and there is, and he does explain what the hell a big marketing idea is. And I will add now, before everybody completely tunes out and thinks, right, we're all listening to the same stuff that we've heard before, his book wouldn't have been successful if his big marketing idea was the USP or the headline or any of those things. I don't think he would have got away with that. So it's for Todd Brown, it's the big marketing idea is the difference between the ordinary and the extraordinary. It's the difference between the common and the uncommon. It's those ideas within marketing that cut through the saturation, and that people don't even, a lot of people mental opt out and all of these things when you start using formula and all of these techniques, which I'm sure I'll mention later on. But the whole idea is that with the big marketing idea, is it goes back to, as I said, he refers to the transformation, the why, and they're all interlinked. So it's the Simon Sinek, it was the why. For Todd Brown, it's the big idea. But I would say that this as a book, this is, strangely enough, so many people sort of say that they agree that this is the core to success. Mm-hmm. He mentions Mark Ford, he mentions Eugene Schwartz. There's so many names in this book that would accredit again this to being the reason why certain things are successful and others aren't. And I'm not talking small scale success here either. I'm talking those really successful ideas that make millions. So you could refer to 4-Hour Work Week with Tim Ferriss. It was the New York bestseller for 4 years. This is sold worldwide. So I'm talking these big ideas, and that is what they are. They're the ones that go beyond and sort of just dominate an industry, and not even just for a little bit. of aura and all of these and all of these things, there's a big marketing idea there, because they have just, and again, like I said, you could probably edit this video and change the big idea for the why, and change the why for the transformation, and it would still contextualize. So this is Todd Brown's answer to what is the way to success, and he does give a formula, but it's very vague. Not vague that you can't understand it, but vague in a sense of he doesn't give you a formula to submit words into, because a big idea, a big marketing idea, requires innovation, creation, contextualization, and it's current, it's in tune with the world, and all of those things. You can't just sit there and say, write this, add this, do this, and then do this, and make sure you've done this, and you've got a big marketing idea, because that would never work. So the book is a great look at another marketer and all of that position on what is the key to success, and he talks about that actually. It was Mark Ford that told him that this was. He shares an anecdote of Mark sharing this in, I think it was somewhere, he shares it in a bar, and he overheard a conversation and all of these things. So I think it's a principle that's been around for a long time for many marketers. And is interestingly quite not unknown, but is not as known as some of the other books, like Start With Why. But no, it's definitely a great book to just explore even more on techniques and how success can come about.
I think you mentioned a lot of great things about the book. And guys, if I wasn't clear earlier, the big idea is something that all of you need. Actually, every entrepreneur should have an understanding of what the big idea is in his business. And I want you to know that, again, as Ella just mentioned, this kind of thing cannot really be formulated. It's more about creativity. It's more about, it's also time consuming. I mean, it takes time to understand, again, the big idea in your business. You already have an idea. I want you to know that, because you couldn't have sold anything without an idea. Your idea might be good, it might be horrible, but you already have something made. But it's all about improving it. It's all about really understanding why your idea is different. And also, I want you to know that the whole idea of creating such a big idea is, Todd mentions, it is a way to actually cut through the noise, to differentiate yourself from others. Because what happens today is that most niches are already pretty much saturated, and unless you can really find the why your business is different, and how do you make it different, and how come people that have already tried other solutions that on the paper look completely, you know, similar to yours, why should they also consider you? How are your solutions, your services, any different and might work even if others failed? So this is the whole point of the big marketing idea. And this is something that I would highly suggest you to, first of all, stay until the end and really understand, you know, a little bit more about it. And of course, to pick his book about it. Okay, it's kind of short to read. It's not too tough to read it. And yeah, Ella, thank you so much for that. I would also love to hear I think I pretty much answered that, but I'd also love to hear your thoughts on this. Who can benefit from reading the book?
I think similar to the Simon Sinek book, I think it's one of those books that anybody that's using marketing and is promoting anything and selling in any way, whether that be services or products or coaching others that are selling, I think it would be a useful tool, because And again, I don't think you should ever stop learning. So I would say that it would be a great book for anybody just to delve into and explore.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you have had to choose like one best takeaway, the most insightful one, which would you pick from reading it?
Now, obviously, apart from the big marketing idea, I mean, that would be far too easy. I would say that I'm actually reading the Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz at the minute. And he mentions him, and he mentions a concept that was first brought about in Breakthrough Advertising, which is the... So he refers to the idea of the impact of a prospect's maturity and knowledge on how you approach marketing. So what I mean by that is for Apple now, and for mobile phones now, everybody knows what a mobile phone is. They know what it does. But when the first mobile phone was brought out, they had no clue what it was. So there's different marketing required. And Eugene Schwartz calls this the promise exposure spectrum, which it begins with people that have no knowledge and a new product. All you have to do is provide a promise. All you have to do is provide a primary promise, and that's enough. But as the awareness increases, you have to, and as the market increases for that product and becomes more and more saturated, as you mentioned, you've got to expand on the promise. Then you've got to add a unique mechanism. Then you've got to expand on the unique mechanism. An example of this would be, I'm going to break it down really simple and use water. So firstly, you say that you've got clean water. And next, you say you've got clean water that will, I don't know, help clear your skin in 30 days. And next, you say you've got clean water that helps clear your skin in 30 days because it's got vitamin C, whatever, and it's a chemical, so that's your unique mechanism. You're bringing in something that's the reason why it works, because at this point there's so many people out there making this promise, they want to know why yours works. And then after that, when that runs out, that's when you get all of these waters that are from the Himalayan mountains and are taken straight from the river in Thailand. And that's an expanding of the mechanism. So it's not only vitamin C, it's vitamin C from Thailand. And people buy into it. You've done it yourself, don't lie. And then the final stage of this is when people are completely aware and no mechanism, no nothing will just, it doesn't matter what you say. And this is where you have to tap into the prospect. This is where you have to say, I know you're hearing a lot, but this works. It's the psychology part of it. That's the fed up of all of this, try this. And people go, yeah, I am fed up. Yeah, I am sick of trying diet pills. I am sick of water that doesn't clear my skin. So you know, not no longer what you says matters, it's how you approach the prospect. And it was a great spectrum to explore, because, and it wasn't about the big marketing idea or all those things, but it was how you have to develop your marketing over time for the context of the industry and things that are going on in the world, and the familiarity of these things. Today you see so many different types of water, and this is why. This is why, because if they all just sold water, maybe everyone would just buy the cheapest. So this just shows how you have to develop your marketing strategy for success.
Mm-hmm. So basically, guys, I also want to quickly recap and give my ideas on it. I also have an example to share that I saw Todd Brown actually shares in one of his interviews. First of all, as we just mentioned, a big idea is something that is just a little bit more complicated than the rest of the things that you most have likely seen and thought that your business needs. It's more than just a unique mechanism that I'll go back into that in a moment. It's about also the promise. It's about the transformation. It's about everything packed all together to make your business the ultimate one, the ultimate solution for your customer at the moment. And if you don't have that components, if you don't have those things, then again, people will not really know why they should use your service or product, and they'll just go for the cheapest options. So basically, an example, a great example that Todd Brown shares in the interview for a unique mechanism. Again, a unique mechanism is sort of the way, the thing that makes your business unique, the vehicle that it uses to really deliver results that is also different than other solutions and other services online or not online, offline, and makes your product, again, more unique and also the kind of one that might work for people while others has failed them, okay? So it's all about approach, it's all about the methods, about a vehicle of transportation. So he discussed, I hope that I pronounced it correctly, Americans will most likely tell me in the comments, but there was a famous, maybe there still is, a Shields beer company that in the early 90s, they were ranked number 5 for producing beer in America. And there was actually a very interesting man that approached one of the managers there, and he saw something very unique in them. He saw their purification process of the beer, and he told the manager, the CEO, I don't know who exactly that was in the company, why aren't you using that in your marketing? And the answer that he got was that everyone already does. I mean, all beer breweries purify in a very similar way, so it's not really unique. So I also want to give you that example because you might have some kind of unique mechanism that you're not aware of. So what Claude Hopkins that said to that manager is that the users, the people who buy that beer, have no freaking idea about this purification process. I mean, it was amazing to hear, maybe not to the manager who knows how, you know, behind the scenes are made, but the users, the people who drank the beer, had no idea of that. And by using that in their marketing, by using something that was very common to them, that was completely, to their knowledge, not unique or anything that they can use, by using that and really understanding the kind of education that the users had, because sometimes you don't understand that, but the things that you take for granted are not taken for granted by your users. I mean, they had no idea about the purification process. Maybe some who really, I don't know, were experts in beer production, but most of them didn't. So by only exploiting this small thing, this small idea in their marketing, in a couple of months, Shields Brewery were able to actually rank from number 5 to number 1 in production in America. Again, it was in the early 90s. And it just proves how much this kind of thing can be, you know, impactful for your business. Again, something that they had no idea was unique actually made them sell a ton more beer this year. And just to give you again a better recap of this, a unique mechanism is something that you probably, well, not probably, but you might already have, okay? There are different sorts of unique mechanism. There's the existing one, something that is really unique in your business and you can use and exploit. So for example, it can be, I don't know, until a few years back, I've been selling courses on dropshipping on eBay. And until that point that I got into this business, everyone and his sister were selling those kind of programs, something very, very similar. They taught really similar kind of tools and ways and techniques, but they only were using American or USA-based suppliers while I was using Chinese-based suppliers, something that was made people terrified because they had all of those beliefs that I'll not go into about slow shipment, about cheap products, about low quality products. So basically, I use a different manufacturer, a different supplier, a different way. And I again taught the same concept, but again I took it in another direction and showed them why they can be successful. How come these suppliers are less saturated, less competitive, better prices? And I used something different, and everyone who were asking about dropshipping from Chinese suppliers basically came to me, and it took months until someone else got and did the exact same thing and tried again to use those kind of suppliers. So this was kind of a unique mechanism, and I already had that, so it was an existing one. But there's also the, again, the untold or the unique mechanisms that you're not aware of. That's exactly what the Shields company beer has been using, something that again they thought was common, they thought it's not unique. But the users were not educated well enough to be taking this for granted. So by explaining that idea in their business, in their marketing, they were actually again able to go from number 5 to number 1, which is an amazing change. And all of that happens in a couple months, okay? So again, this is the untold unique mechanism. The thing that is unique that you're not really aware of. And I invite you to do the same kind of check in your business, and you might just find something, okay? And there's also the one that I wrote down because I'm having trouble pronouncing it. The transubstantiate mechanism, okay? A kind of long word for not a native speaker. But basically, this is also something that is very broadly used. This is actually the most popular one, because this is basically the... Again, the thing that is already being seen is common. This is something that was maybe previously unique. Again, maybe previously in the old life, when no one really, I don't know, did dropshipping from Chinese suppliers, but now everyone does it. So it's about taking something that was previously unique and adjusting it a little, adding some tweaks, adding some kind of, again, something unique to it based on an existing structure and making it your own. It's like remodeling, okay? It's all about adding something. Again, not something that will be too small to make it not something really relevant or interesting. It is about adding something cool, unseen before, something that might change the whole way of the process. It's about adding this and making this unique, making it your own. So again, three different kinds. And if you're, again, aware of all of these, you might just be able to already find something in your business. Again, it might not take a day or two. It might take a way longer than that. I know that Todd shared that he's been studying this exact same principle for about 6 years now. So it might take some time, but it's highly rewarding, okay? So I'm sorry for cutting you in that. I'd love to continue this interview and ask you again. What was your favorite part? I mean, again, takeaways aside, what was your favorite part?
Now, this is an interesting one. So I do a lot of what I do, I will analyze things and observe things. And I read a lot of, jumped into the copy books and marketing books, and I read a lot of them, and I was like, well, and something always bothered me. And what bothered me is that they were all giving me formulas, and they were all saying, do this, do this, do that, do, and you'll be successful. And I thought, I'm not going to lie, I thought, what the bloody hell, if all of this worked and these formulas, then why isn't everybody rich? And you read these things and you think, well, there's a point where you can simplify things, yes, you can guide somebody, but I thought, this is rubbish, yes, it's a great headline, like the headline, when I walked up to the piano and then I started to play, that it was widely successful and it's been used multiple times since, and it's been successful. But again, I don't think it's a great template for a successful headline. But it always bothered me that all of these things and all of these books were almost like saying, and I think you could probably have used all of these things and create a terribly unsuccessful campaign, marketing campaign. just because I think context matters, and there's more, innovation matters, and I think when I think of the best campaigns, I think, well, they're just genius. They're modern, but they're more than a formula. So my favourite part of the book is that he said that. He says that formulate marketing and fill in the gap and all of this stuff that's used as, and let's be honest, I love it. I love a fill in the gaps headline sheet. I love adding here. It's great. But I don't think that it's everything. And he does say that actually the formulate marketing could be your ruin, because and honestly as well, I read all these books and I read them and I think I do exactly what you say and it works, but this book didn't do what everyone said and it worked. So at some point, Donald Miller went, no, screw this, I'm trying something new. And it was super successful. And what he created was this SB7 story band formula. In the same way that Mark Ford, who formulated this big idea that Todd Browns then sort of developed, that weren't in a book that he read. And he says this, and that is what I loved, that he points out that actually, and for me, I, as somebody that wants to grow as a copywriter and a marketer, yes, I want to be successful, but I want to do more than that. I don't just want to do what everyone else has done before me. Mm-hmm. And I think most people don't either. Some of the joy is in creating your own successful. So the book looks at ways to be successful without telling you how to be successful. And he says, if you do something that's worked before, it will probably not work. Because if it worked before, that was it. That was its chance. That's it. It's gone now. Everybody's going to react the same. And I totally agree. And in reference to this, I can bring in obviously categorical imperative, which is the idea that our brain categorizes things. So this is not just me talking nonsense and me thinking I'm an innovator and I'm going to change the world, and really liking that he went along with it and cheered me on. This is also biology. Our brain categorizes things, and like Simon Sinek says, that actually there is biology involved in these marketing things. And that we categorize all of these things, and when we see things that we've seen before, they go straight into we go straight to a certain mindset, or alternatively we mentally opt out and we go, I've seen this before. Or how many times has somebody that I myself haven't, but people that say take diet pills, how many times have they seen another ad and just clocked out because the diet pills they bought didn't work? I mean, the new ones might work, but their brain categorized and opted out. It's all about, to think for me, a big marketing idea and a hugely successful marketing campaign is about cutting through the noise, as you said, and it's about pattern interrupt. My favorite part of the book is that he addresses the fact that you do just have to sometimes, you've got to not do what this is probably really cliche, not do the easy thing. It's really easy to do all those things, and you might be super successful, millions, but it's not always the way. But that's probably because it aligned with my beliefs, and as a bit of a, mm-hmm. I suppose I've already confessed in previous interviews that I'm a Mac and an Apple fan. So it was the thinking different and tapping into that for me that. I just think he goes beyond he sort of goes, but you know, you it's all about, there's more of this is on you than us. Like, I'm not just, he doesn't just give you the answer. He gives you a way to create an answer, but he doesn't give you the answer, which I appreciated. It was a nice way, it was nice to be reminded that actually there's other ways that we don't even know that are going to be hugely successful ways to market, and we have no idea what they are yet. That what is currently out there is we're going, our mind will be blown in 20 years of the new things we've come up with. And I like that.
So basically, also guys, I want to say something real quick. We sometimes mention other talks that we had in our channel. So basically, if you haven't watched, for example, the Donald Miller one that we discussed, you can definitely do that. Just go to my channel. Well, it depends on where you see it. If it's a podcast, then you can just go back. If it's a YouTube, go to my channel. You'll see a playlist called Interviews, and you'll have the Donald Miller. It was all about his book, Building a Story Brand. Okay, this is also a fascinating piece, and I would highly suggest you to do that. Basically, you don't need to understand all of that to, again, understand the big idea. And I also want to share my own, not personal takeaway as much as, again, favorite part. Because I think, again, and I recommend you to read this book, that it opens you on such greater horizons. I mean, one of the things there, again, a big idea is also something that involves a couple of components, such as a unique mechanism, such as a promise. And a promise, let's take a moment on that. Well, Todd Brown actually recommends to have some kind of a bold promise that is usually talks about the kind of transformation, the why you're doing this, the kind of thing that this product, offer, or service is going to solve or create. Whether it's you, I don't know, gaining some mass, losing weight, or I don't know, have a digital nomad kind of lifestyle that you can, I don't know, go to Thailand and work from the laptop. So basically, the promise is, again, is something that if you don't understand in your business, if you're just, I don't know, selling a course that teaches people how to make money, and you're not talking about the transformation, which is much bigger than just making money. It's about securing the financial future of your family. It is about being allowed to, I don't know, maybe get some extra cash to be able to put your kids in good school. It is about, I don't know, doing more vacations and avoiding the 9-to-5 job. It is about escaping the rat race. It's about so much more than just extra money. Yes, the extra money is something that will be caused by doing this program, but it will allow you to do so much more. And this is what people really want, okay? This is what they aim to get. And by talking transformation-wise, by talking promise-wise, you can actually do something very powerful, which a lot of people miss, okay? People usually try to sell and not thinking about the marketing side, which is completely different. You should know, again, it is crucial for a business to know who you talk to and how well educated they are. And if you don't do this research and you're just throwing things into the air, because what salespeople do actually, usually they call on someone that is already kind of interested in what you have to sell. He's kind of educated. He left his details. He left his contact information. And now he's approached in a sales call. In a sales call, it's completely different, because in a sales call, you basically mention the guarantees, the benefits, or how your product is different than others, about how it is unique, about what it has, what it offers, the payment plan and stuff. But by involving this kind of information, this kind of conversation will only be able to convince people that had already had some kind of interest in your product, did some kind of initial research, and are pretty much educated. Because you cannot convince me to buy, a dropshipping course without me first understanding what dropshipping is, or how it is good for me, or how can people actually make money of that without me having this trust. However, if you would want to sell to me, again, you cannot promise me benefits and stuff, because I'm not just educated enough. But what you can promise me and talk to me about is the transformation, because there is a chance that I'm not yet at the market, okay? I'm not yet searching for, I don't know, solutions. I might not know even that I have a problem, okay? There's a lot of people that, I don't know, live a horrible lifestyle, have no idea that they are in pain or a situation that they need to fix until the wake-up call, until something very bad happens, until they hit rock bottom. But you can actually, you know, educate them and show them the offer or a solution by talking transformation wise, because transformation might already interest them. Again, without being, I don't know, knowledgeable about dropshipping, I might be knowledgeable enough to understand that I want the digital nomad kind of lifestyle. So if you'll talk to me the transformation and lot benefit wise, if you'll, you know, build that initial education level, I might be a potential customer. And this is what really the big companies do. This is what Todd mentions, Agora Financial did, a company that already hit the eight figures. And what they mastered is something that a lot of marketers miss: the art of showing your product offers and convincing people from the very first initial level, which is the ones who are not yet in the market, that are not yet searching for solutions. They don't know that they're into a problem, and you cannot possibly convince them without talking transformation-wise, okay? Because again, all the other fluffs and talks wouldn't convince them, because they cannot understand that. But again, if you're going to, let's give one more example. If you're, I don't know, having a weight loss program, okay? You might not be able to convince me that your weight loss program is something I should buy if you'll tell me how better you are than your competitors, or how your product is good because it uses some kind of a Chinese herb in it. Because again, I'm not really looking into this whole thing, I'm not in the market. However, if you'll come to me and say, Daniel, wouldn't you be more happy to look, I don't know, better, to have some muscles, to lose some weight? If you'll talk to me transformation wise, I don't know, show me, talk to me about how I can look, about how it can boost my confidence, about how it can, I don't know, make my life easier, about how I can avoid diseases and stuff. If you'll talk to me that, I will understand, and I might be tempted enough to just buy it. But again, the other way around won't work. So this is a very thing that I thought was eye-opening about this whole concept. Again, because he also focuses on the big promise. And this is something that if you mastered, if you know how to speak about it, if you know what your big promise is and why should people care, then you can actually approach so many other potential customers that until now were not even prospects to your eyes. But now when you have the tools on how to convince them, now they become potential prospects and you're swimming in a much larger pool, okay? By the way, these are also the kind of people that will be easier to convince. Yes, they might need to, you'll need to spend some time into educating them, but they're not even aware of your competitors. So what you show them will be completely unique in most chances, in most situations. They'll not be aware of other solutions, other things. And if you do talk about a transformation and if you do convince them, they might be yours, because again, you are the only offer they are aware of, okay? And you might close the sale just there. Okay, so again, thank you for that, Ella. And this is my favorite part, I guess. And I also wanted to ask if whether this book, again, changed your perspective in some way towards marketing, towards sales, towards business.
I'd say yes and no. I think every book changes my outlook and changes my perspective and the way I explore marketing and copywriting. And I leave every book with, even if it didn't give me an actionable explicit tip, having learnt something and having changed my methods or altered the way that I view things and the way that I approach things. But I would say that it probably less so than the other books. I would say that it was, again, it didn't necessarily change anything huge or massive. It also reinforced the importance of the core of things, and that actually, it comes back to my favourite part of the book, is that actually a great headline and all of these things, it won't sell anything if you're in a saturated market. It don't matter how great your headline is, if you're using just your promise. But a primary I think for me, it reinforced the impact of exploring the maturity of your audience, the point of your product, the way your product's at, your idea, and actually that, again, strangely enough, the book talks about the one single thing that you need to be successful, but the book actually taught me that there is so many things you need to be successful, which is quite ironic. But I would say that the book reminded me that success is not do this and that's it. That's the trick. That's the secret. Like all these headlines, I mean, I write them myself. This is the secret to losing weight in 30 days. Anybody that does copy, we know. You've probably read them in magazines, newspapers, but there is never going to be one secret. Mm-hmm. There is never going to be one thing that fundamentally is the reason why your copy goes from selling thousands to millions to billions. It's a combination of having, and it's a process as well. Like thinking of Agora and thinking of Apple. They did it once, but they did it again and again and again. And they've not done the same thing again and again and again, because everybody would have mentally opted out and a categorical imperative would have kicked in and all of those things. And we would have gone, well, I've heard this before. So if all of those things were if each time it was different and something changed, it's not one thing. Which is, I think that's, it enforced to me how, I mean, it reinforced to me as somebody that I'm still really young and I'm one of those people that's got all these big dreams and goals, as you do. And it reinforced to me that actually, not that I'm right, but that actually, yes, there's so much more to marketing. And he does mention Eugene Schwartz, who's been... He I don't know when he wrote his book, but it was years ago, and this book's still relevant. He talks about things in marketing that are, I mean, I'm only partway through, but he talks about things in marketing, even though he wrote that are relevant now, even though he wrote this years ago. So yes, things, there is continuity in this and the success and successful techniques, but there is also going to be so much more in the future and so many more developments, and that we're nowhere near, that there'll never be a finish line. Nobody will ever find the secret, because there isn't one, because we're changing. We as humans, we evolve, we change, society changes us. Like we've said in another video, how our attention span's gone from 12 seconds to 8. That changes everything. It changes everything. 12 seconds to 8, that's 4 seconds. That is 4 seconds that we have lost as digital marketers, as copywriters, to catch somebody's attention. Mm-hmm. That changes the technique. And if we go, if in 10 years, our attention span is 30 seconds, well, that, I mean, it would completely blow the way that we're marketing right now. It would change formula. We would be able to share so much more, and you'd be able to capture people. The importance of a headline would shrink because suddenly they're reading the body text. But if it goes down and we go to 2 seconds, well, I mean, instantly, I think we're going to have to start on the images, aren't we? Because they're not going to read in 2 seconds. And I think that's the thing for me, is that it reinforces that all these things, yes. And I don't say that the book, I didn't believe everything in the book. Great book. I believe in the big market idea. I think it's so fundamental to success. But I also think that it proves that a big marketing idea is a concept as well. And that the big marketing, and actually the big marketing idea, the formula he uses, is emotionally compelling and intellectually interesting. That's the big marketing idea. But I mean, you're now, when I said broad, yes, you're thinking, okay, yeah, you were talking broad. And I think that is the secret to success. But I mean, Jesus, how many things can you put into emotionally compelling? How many primary promises and unique mechanisms can you pair together to make that? So many. And in 10 years, that might be a great image and a single word. And the book, just the more I'm reading, and the more information you ingest and digest and all of these things, and the more content you consume as well, the more you realize that it's marketing, is there's great things that you can do, and there's secrets, and there's hidden gems, and there's golden nuggets all over of things that just go, okay, that's going to make a massive difference. Like putting a PS at the end of an email, you think, oh, okay, this is good, this is it. But there'll never just be one. It's like a dictionary. There'll be tons of things, and there'll only be more as we evolve, and some of them will probably disappear as well. Like I said, if our attention span was 2 seconds, a long headline wouldn't work, and all of a sudden everything that's been written on headlines would become redundant. Because the headline would maybe become the subheading, and then, we're now. And so I think for me, the book is a reminder of the change. And I don't know whether part of that is the notion of what's going on in the world right now, and the uncertainty, and a combination of where I'm at personally combined with when I read the book. But I definitely think that for me, on my perspective on copy and marketing, is that you can follow all of these great steps and you can do all of these great things, but there is also, I think, when you read these books, you forget that there's also potential to be one of those people that create these great books and actually comes up with a great formula. And there's still space for ideas. And like I said, the big marketing idea, the transformation, start with why. They cross over. There's a lot of similarities. And actually, who knows? You could be the person that creates the next one, as an optimist. But I think that's it. It was more of a philosophical shift in my perspective this week. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know whether that's the times or the book, but I definitely think it was a great way to sort of see copy as something that's ever changing. And he doesn't sort of focus on permanence, and actually, yes, he says that a big marketing idea, that's it, that's the secret. But he said that Mark, this person and this person said it was a secret. And even if 10 people said it was a secret, 10 people said it was a secret then. Mm-hmm. Which for me sort of triggered it was a bit of an aha moment in itself, that I then went, hold up, that was the secret then, which it might still be now, but that doesn't mean it always will be.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. And guys, I also want to give you my thoughts. But before I do that, so again, remember that there actually, again, what is unique now will not be unique maybe in 1 year. I don't know. As entrepreneur, as online marketer, I don't know how you consider yourself, but you must adapt to the market, okay? You must realize that changes were made. And again, if it goes for attention span, if it goes for what is considered unique, what is considered saturated, and this is basically also why I think so many people can benefit from the book. I mean, this is not the most like practical kind of book. You're not get like an action plan or something, though you will understand the kind of structure. And well, there is some kind of a broad formula there as well, and you will understand how to think, okay? If there was an entrepreneurial school that you should attend to, this is it. This is the strategy, okay? Todd Brown brilliantly share this amazing piece, and I think that all could benefit from it. And I also, Ella also mentioned the Eugene Schwartz Breakthrough Advertising, which is also a great book that is pretty hard to get those days. I know that there's a company that actually, because this is a super old book with still relevant information, that a lot of people claim this is like the best copywriting book ever. And people actually buy it for like, I actually researched on this. There, it's like $130 with using a new company that bought the rights for it. Previously, it was sold for like $300, but that doesn't matter. It's also an amazing piece. You can research on that. Again, Eugene Schwartz, Breakthrough Advertising. Okay. I also think again that it is kind of strategy book that a lot of people can benefit from, especially today, because a lot of people have this belief, have a belief that most niches are already saturated, which is partly true. I mean, there's so much going on online. Doesn't matter what you do. Also, the educational industry, again, it's growth like hell, but everyone releases courses, everyone provides solutions. The internet became so easy to use that everyone is creating offers and services, and everyone becomes entrepreneur, and basically everything was already covered. I mean, there's of course still ways to make yourself unique, and this is just that. So if you understand the concept, if you understand, and again, there's many other books that we mentioned that can also be awesome for that. Simon Sinek, Start With Why. We talked about Donald Miller, Building a Story Brand. These are all books that help you understand how to become unique, how do I differentiate yourself, how to still become relevant, even though, again, there's thousands of others that are basically doing a very similar thing. And this can be the one thing that changes you from being just one other guy that does that, than being the guy that I should go to if I suffer from or have those kind of things, or I want this done, okay? So it's all about, again, being the most qualified solution for a specific customer. It is about proving that there's no one else that can provide the same kind of journey or solution that you provide. Doesn't matter if it's a small thing that you tweaked, if it's a completely different way, the kind of idea behind it should be different, and this will be the book for that, I think. And before we go, I'd like to ask you one more question, which I wrote down. It is, well, are there any other quick tips that you can share with people? I mean, that might not read this book, but would love this idea.
Let me think. I think I'll keep this one short and sweet. A quick tip, cohesive with everything I've said and the book, and is something that actually Todd Brown says himself, is that, and I'll leave this brief as well, because I think it'd be great to maybe for people to comment their thoughts and responses to this, and how and whether they agree or because it could be a controversial one, but actually that it doesn't matter if you're better, if you're selling a better service, a better product, then it doesn't matter. What matters is if you are different. And so the fundamental and the crucial part is to stand out. Especially, like we said, if we mentioned in saturated markets, people opt out because they've heard the same stuff. You have to be different sometimes. And better, obviously, ideally. But you could just be different, and that might be enough. I can refer back to the Tim Ferriss for 4-hour work week. Ultimately, he discusses how to outsource and revolutionize your business through outsourcing. Well, there's plenty of books out there that explicitly outline that in the title. Outsourcing 101, probably. There's probably a book called Outsourcing for Dummies, let's be honest. But they weren't different. So that's my quick tip, is that be different. I'd love to hear what other people think about this as well.
So basically, yes, guys, it might take some time, but I would highly suggest you, the same as Ella, to, you know, find the why your business is different, how it is different, to find a big idea in your business. So basically, as for picking up the book, guys, I'll try to put a link down below. You can basically Google how to find the big marketing idea in your marketing by Todd Brown. And yeah, I think that you should definitely read it. And guys, if you also have something to share, do it with us. I'd love to hear any comment, any suggestion, any feedback, and of course get back to you in that. And also make sure to subscribe if you enjoy those videos, so you can also be among the first to ever hear when we launch a new video or content. And that is it, guys. I really do hope that you've enjoyed the interview. I would like to also thank you, Ella, for keeping it with us and doing this interview that I think will benefit a lot of people. And yeah, again, let us know what you think, and have the best day.